that had a class of, you know, how do you say, these kings that were all from Brahminical fathers. And so then it was, even though it was Treta Yuga, then it was like Satya Yuga during that first reign, like that. Okay. Brahma sings three verses in praise of Lord Ramachandra, who descends into the royal family dynasty of Ikshvaku with his plenary extensions, his three transcendental brothers. Lakshmi Devi, his internal potency, plays the role of his wife, Princess Sita. Ever loyal to his father, Maharaj Dasarath, Ramachandra even humbly consented to banishment to the forest for 12 years. The Lord was accompanied by Sita and his younger brother, Lakshmana. Ten-headed Ravana, the powerful king of the man-eating Rakshasas, sought only to offend the Lord, even to the extent of kidnapping his wife and spiriting her off to his island domain, Lanka. The angry, red-hot glances cast by the Lord from the shore of Lanka, from the shore to Lanka Island, seemed to boil the ocean. Its waves became violently agitated, and within those waves the great aquatics felt the burning of the Lord's fiery eyes. And so the ocean gave him free passage to Lanka. Ravana was powerful enough to defeat Indra, but with the hum of his powerful bowstring, the Lord laid the demon's body down. Yeah, so, Lord comes, you know, with everybody to do all these wonderful things. It's the whole idea is that you interact with the devotees, right? And the Lord being unlimited means there's unlimited manifestations of his personality. And then, yeah. And of that, then the same person, same potencies, everything come along, and you know this, and they perform their pastimes. Then, for us, according to the specific situation, one of those particular pastimes will be specifically relevant. Right? It says with specific duties, right? These different incarnations. Does that make any sense? Right, means there's a particular atmosphere and environment, let's say, at a particular stage in time. So there is a pastime of the Lord that matches that and will do the best to correct anything wrong and to inspire those who are there at that time. Does that make sense? So it's not that any avatar, any pastime. Hare Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu.
Shanti Shanti Om Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So now Maharaj Janamejaya, he has concluded that there is a reason for having it would be just to have the snake sacrifice. As Takshaka, by his improper dealings, then, you know, put the whole world into difficulty. And so naturally then him and the snakes should be, you know, chastised here. But then while they were setting up, because before a sacrifice they go out, they pick a piece of land, they plow the fields, and then in that they see the omens, they see the quality of the land and everything about the land, what kind of trees are there, this, that. Then they can understand things. So then the person who is then laying the foundation, that going by the time, going by what the soil that's there and everything, then he understood that the sacrifice will not be complete, it will be stopped by a Brahmin. Right? And so then Maharaj Janamejaya said then, he made strict orders that when we have the sacrifice, no one should come in unless I know about it. Right? Sauti said, this is section 52. The snake sacrifice then commenced according to due form, and the sacrificial priests, competent in their respective duties according to the ordinance, clad in black garments and their eyes red from contact with smoke, poured clarified butter into the blazing fire, uttering the appropriate mantras. Right? Because here you're destroying something in that, so then they wear black. Right? Also like when they do those who do Vastu Homas, who worship Vastu as a ghost, right, as opposed to as a devotee, then they wear black garments, right? So we worship him as a devotee, so then there's no need of such things. And causing the hearts of all the snakes to tremble with fear, they poured clarified butter into the mouth of Agni, uttering the names of the snakes. And the snakes thereupon began to fall into the blazing fire, benumbed and piteously calling upon one another, and swollen and breathing hard, and twining each other with their heads and tails, they came in large numbers and fell into the fire. The white, the black, the blue, the old, the young, all fell alike into the fire, uttering various cries. Those measuring Akrosha and those measuring Ayojana, and those of the measure of a Gokarna fell continuously with great violence into that first of all fires. Krosha. Anyone knows how big a Krosha is? I'm not sure. I think it's a 16th of a mile or something. Like they measure, talk about the Dom. Oh, 64 Kroshas around.
No, that's Kosha.
Kosha. Okay, but some are measuring a yojana, so that's 8 miles long. So I think it was a quite big yajna kunda, you know, good size. And hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of snakes, deprived of all control over their limbs, perished on that occasion. And amongst those that perished, there were some that were like horses, others like trunks of elephants, and others of huge bodies and strength like maddened elephants, of various colors and virulent poison, terrible and looking like maces furnished with iron spikes, of great strength, ever inclined to bite. The snakes, afflicted with their mother's curse, fell into the fire. Remember, it was always the ones that were like that, inclined to bite, all the kind of more you know, ill-behaved, more nasty, envious ones who were to be killed in the sacrifice. Section 53. Shaunaka asked, what great rishis became the ritviks at the snake sacrifice of the wise King Janamejaya of the Pandava line, who also became the sarasyas in that terrible snake sacrifice, so frightful to the snakes, and begetting such sorrow in them? It behooveth thee to describe all these in detail, so that, O son of Sutta, we may know who are acquainted with the rituals of the snake sacrifice. So he wants to know, who is it that knows this sacrifice? Because it's just mentioned in the Puranas, so who actually knew the mantras and everything? Because they were doing it and it was working, right? So that means they knew what was, they were very well educated. Sauti replied, I will recite the names of those wise ones who became the monarchs Ritviks and Sarasyas. The Brahmana Chandabhargava became the Hotri in that sacrifice. He was of great reputation and was born in the race of Chavana and was the foremost of those acquainted with the Vedas. The learned and old Brahmana Kautsa became the Udgatri, the chanter of the Vedic hymns. And Jaimini became the Brahmana. Right? Jaimini means, we hear of Jaimini Sutras and all that, because he was entrusted with the Samaveda. Like that, he was a disciple of Vyasa. Vyasadeva then, after he had compiled the Vedas, he entrusted all the different portions of the Vedas to different disciples. Like Romaharshana Sutta, means Sutta Goswami's father, was given charge of all the Puranas, right? All the Puranic literature. And Jaimini was given the Samaveda. Right? So they were supposed to maintain it and teach it and this way expand its knowledge. So we can see is there's very special persons are here. Jaimini came to Brahmanas. That means the Brahmana is the one who watches over the Hotri, the Udgata, and the Advaryu. Right? To see the Rigvedi, the Samavedi, and the Yajurvedi. So he's a Samavedi, so he knows all the other ones. Shangarva and Pingala, the Advaryus, and Vyasa with his son and disciples, and Udalaka, Pramataka, Svetaketu, Pingala, Astika, Devala, Narada, Parvata, Atreya, Kundajatara, the Brahmana Kalagata, Vatsya, old Shrutashravas, ever engaged in japa and the study of Vedas. Kohala, Deva Sharma, Maudgalya, Samasaurava, and many other Brahmins who had got through the Vedas became Sarasyas at that sacrifice of the son of Parikit. Right? So he mentioned the priests, right? The Brahma priest, the Hotri, Advaryu Udgata. So all those main principles were made. There was, yes.
Right. Who was the Udgata?
The Udgata, it says, was Kautsa. So these are all, yes.
Maharaj just mentioned the name of Astika,
is the same as Astika. Astika. No, Asita. Asita. Asita, Devala. They always seem to go together. Just like you have Narada and Parvata, they always travel together. So all these different, so that was the Brahmanas and those are the Sarasyas. Sarasyas are like senior, you know, elevated personalities who come to observe and to discuss the philosophy and other things like that. So it says Vyasa and his sons and disciples were there, his son and disciples. So at that, then Vyasadeva was asked to recite the Mahabharata, right? Because the Sarasyas means they're going to discuss the philosophy and discuss Shastra, right? Yeah. So then in doing that, then the Mahabharata spoke. That's why this whole snake sacrifice is being described. Because it's all the background history behind everything. Yeah. When the Ritviks in that snake sacrifice began to pour clarified butter into the fire, terrible snakes, striking fear into every creature, began to fall into it. And the fat and marrow of the snakes, thus falling into the fire, began to flow in rivers. The atmosphere was filled with an unsufferable stench owing to the incessant burning of the snakes. And incessant also were the cries of the snakes falling into the fire and those in the air about to fall into it. Meanwhile, Takshaka, that prince of snakes, as soon as he heard that King Janamejaya was engaged in the sacrifice, went to the palace of Purandara, Indra, and that best of snakes, having represented all that had taken place, sought in terror the protection of Indra, after having acknowledged his fault. Right, so he did say that I was wrong, you know, and then he was looking for shelter. And Indra, gratified, told him, O prince of snakes, O Takshaka, here thou hast no fear from that snake sacrificed. The grandsire was pacified by me for thy sake. Therefore thou hast no fear. Let this fear of thine be allayed. Right? Like, that means he went to Brahma and asked that, you know, Vasuki was doing so nice, so that, you know, please protect them all. So Brahma said they would be protected, but that's only the good snakes, not the bad snakes. Right? Sauti continued, thus encouraged by him, that best of snakes began to dwell in Indra's abode in joy and happiness. But Vasuki, seeing that the snakes were incessantly falling into the fire, and that his family was reduced to only a few, became exceedingly sorry. And the king of the snakes was afflicted with great grief, and his heart was about to break. And summoning his sister, he spake unto her, saying, O amiable one, my limbs are burning, and I no longer see the points of the heavens. I am about to fall down from loss of consciousness. My mind is turning, my sight is falling, and my heart is breaking. Benumbed, I may fall today into that blazing fire. The sacrifice of the son of Pariket is for the extermination of our race. It is evident I also shall have to go to the abode of the king of the dead. The time has come, O my sister, on account of which thou wert bestowed by me on Jarakaru to protect us with our relatives. O best of the women of the snake race, Astika will put an end to the sacrifice that is going on. The grandsire told me this of old. Therefore, O child, solicit thy dear son, who is fully conversant with the Vedas, and regarded even by the old, for the protection of myself and also of those dependent upon me. Right? Regarded even by the old means that his knowledge is very great and his depth of knowledge is there, right? Does that make sense? Because if knowledge is extremely vast, then that is something to be regarded. But more important means the depth or the understanding that is there, the maturity with which it is done. That is more important. Right? Does that make sense? Section 54. Sautik said, then the snake dame, Jarakaru, calling her own son, told him the following words according to the directions of Vasuki, the king of the snakes. O son, the time has come for the accomplishment of that object for which I was bestowed on thy father by my brother. Therefore do thou which should be done. Astika asked, why wert thou, O mother, bestowed on my father by my uncle? Please tell me all truly, so that on hearing it I may do what is proper. Right? So he was unaware, so now he will be told. Then Jarakaru, the sister of the king of snakes, herself unmoved by the general distress, and even desirous of the welfare of her relatives, said unto him, O son, it is said that the mother of all the snakes is Kadru. Know thou why she cursed in anger her sons. Addressing the snake, she said, as ye have refused to falsely represent Uchaishravas, the prince of horses, for bringing about Vinata's bondage according to the wager. Therefore shall he whose charioteer is Vayu burn you all in Janamejaya's sacrifice. Right? It means, in other words, Agni, right? Because his charioteer is Vayu, right? Because fire moves by wind, right? Whenever there's wind, then he moves. And perishing in that sacrifice, ye shall go to the region of the unredeemed spirits. The grandsire of all the worlds spake unto her while uttering this curse, be it so, and thus approved of her speech. Vasuki, having heard that curse and then the words of the grandsire, sought the protection of the gods. O child, on the occasion when the Amrita was being churned for... Oh, I see. on the occasion that the nectar is being churned for the demigods. And the gods, their object fulfilled, for they had obtained that the excellent Amrita with Vasuki ahead, approached the grandsire and all the gods of King Vasuki, sought to incline him who was born of the lotus to be propitious, so that the curse might be made abortive. And the gods said, O Lord, Vasuki, the king of snakes, is sorry on account of his relatives. How may his mother's curse prove abortive? Brahman thereupon replied, saying, Jarakaru will take unto himself a wife of the name Jarakaru. The Brahmana born of her will relieve the snakes. Vasuki, the best of snakes, hearing these words, bestowed me, O thou of godlike looks, on thy high-souled father some time before the commencement of the sacrifice. And from that marriage, though thou art born of me, that time has come. It behooveth thee to protect us from this danger. It behooveth thee to protect my brother and myself from the fire, so that the object, namely our relief for which I was bestowed on thy wise father, may not be unfulfilled. What dost thou think, O son? Sauti said, right? So here we even see is the point is being made, and now it's up to them to make a decision. Does that make sense? This concept of someone willingly taking the decision and then getting the work done, we see is very prominent, right? It's very interesting because it will be thought that the Vedic is very rigid and, you know, how you say, persons are unthinking, right? They just, how do you say? You know, they just do whatever they're told. But here it's they're mentioned, but then it's out of free will that they're doing it. So actually the Vedic is more liberal than the contemporary. But at the same time, its liberalness does not have the fault of not having standards by which to judge your liberality by. Yeah? Does that make sense? Sauti continued, thus addressed, Astika said unto his mother, Yes, I will. And he then addressed the afflicted Vasuki, and as if infusing life into him, said, O Vasuki, thou best of snakes, thou great being, truly do I say, I shall relieve thee from that curse. Be easy, O snake. There is no fear any longer. I shall strive earnestly so that good may come. Nobody hath ever said that my speech, even in jest, hath proved false. Hence, on serious occasions like this, I need not say anything more. O uncle, going thither today, I shall gratify, with words mixed with blessings, the monarch Janamejaya installed at the sacrifice, so that, O excellent one, the sacrifice may stop. O high-minded one, O king of the snakes, believe all that I say. Believe me, my resolve can never be unfulfilled. And Vasuki then said, O Astika, my head swims and my heart breaks. I cannot even discern the points of the earth, and I am afflicted with a mother's curse. And Astika said, Thou best of snakes, it behooveth thee not to grieve any longer. I shall dispel this fear of thine from the blazing fire. This terrible punishment, capable of burning like the fire at the end of the yuga, I shall extinguish. Nurse not thy fear any longer. Right? Here's some interesting points. Is that someone is feeling bad, right? And in this feeling bad, then someone else is trying to make them feel better. Right. So then in the process they have said, don't worry, you know, everything will be taken care of, and they're giving, if need be, reasons, you know, for to inspire confidence in the fulfillment of that. Yeah? Does that make sense? But we see that the other person, because of the distress, may not respond immediately. Right? So then further it is said. So the first thing was just saying, don't worry, I'll take care. But Vasuki was still feeling bad. So now he again speaks, But in the speaking the second time, now he is speaking something that is more close to the feeling of Vasuki. Does that make sense? Now he's talking about how difficult and terrible is the snake sacrifice. Before he said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So if that was all the depth of the pain, then great. But it was deeper. So then he says, yes, this great sacrifice that, you know, so much difficulty and is causing so much sorrow and is coming from, you know, the mother's curse, this, that, you know. Then once there, you can then Vasuki will feel, yes, now he feels or understands what I feel. Then he can say, don't worry, I'll get rid of it. You understand? This is very important. Otherwise, if you say, and then the other person doesn't respond immediately, then if you become impatient, then how it will work, right? That's why tolerance, humility and tolerance are the first points of etiquette, right? Because no aspect of the etiquette can be accomplished without these two, because everything takes time and everything takes the proper attitude. That makes sense? Right? So it's very important like that. Because someone's disturbed, you don't go, oh, get over it, you know, that's stupid, this, that. No, it's a matter of understanding what's there, that, and then taking them through it. Because when someone's in an emotional state, the intelligence isn't necessarily their greatest shelter. Right? The other point here is that these kind of emotions and that are nursed. Right? They're only there because you like them to be there. You know what I'm saying? Technically, one could just drop them. But because of the taste, one has a tendency not to. Yeah? So here he's saying, stop nursing that. But he's not saying it in a bad way. He's saying it that, you know, these things should be taken care of. Does that make sense? You know, it happens. So therefore, if somebody does get that overwhelmed, then yes. So then you leave the fear and say, no longer nurse this. You be happy. Right? Because be happy, so there must be something, confidence. It means there is a cause for his distress. And that is generating a very powerful experience. So therefore, if you want to change that experience to something positive, you have to generate that powerful of a positive, right? Does that make sense? Here is a snake sacrifice going on. It is happening, and the snakes are dying. So you want to relieve the person of this anxiety. You have to then generate the positiveness that of him being able to stop that sacrifice, right? Then you can have happiness. Does that make sense? Yeah, these are important points. Right? It's said very simply, but we can see what's being brought out is very particular, technical, practical ways of dealing. Does that make sense? Like that. Otherwise, what some will say that the Shastra is just theory, and then there's real life. No, the Shastra is real life. Everything else is theory that unfortunately doesn't necessarily work. Or it works, but only in limited cases. But this point here works in any case, if you understood the actual principles that it's working on. Right? Does that make sense? It means the distress someone has to be alleviated in a way that it will generate the confidence in the other person that it will be alleviated. Right? So you replace one thing with another. Right? You're using here deflect or distract. Right? Means they're already at this point, then you take it from here and move it somewhere else. Right? So he's first started with distract. Right? Means that he's in anxiety here and he's saying, don't worry, we're going to take care of it. Right? But that didn't fully work. So then he used, what did I say? Deflect. He went to where he was, and then from there, then focused it over here. Does that make sense? Right? So these are how you're dealing, because the mind accepts and rejects. It's not like you just present so many things and it looks at them all, okay, that looks nice, and maybe that's the intelligence that does that. So when one's emotionally involved, it doesn't work, yes.
So in other words, you have to make the connection with the person, yeah?
You have to make the connection, yes. So if by presenting something else it attracts them, then you've made that connection through attraction, and then you change their view to something else. If it doesn't, then you have to go into their mentality, and then they understand or trust that you understand what's there, then you take them step by step to the positive mentality. Does that make sense? But going in and just saying, this is nonsense, stop this, then the point is how will they stop that? And because the mind has accepted this feelings, these bad feelings. So that means it has to reject them. But why should it reject them just because you said reject them? Right? You have to give the mind something to go by. Someone may say, this is stupid, we have to be, you know, just intelligent. But then, okay, if you're being intelligent, then give the reasons. Just that it's stupid, well, why is it stupid? Right? And how is it intelligent to do the other thing? You understand? Even if you want to use that method, still, the point is you're dealing with the mind, and unless the mind rejects the bad feeling and accepts the good feeling, nothing's going to happen. You can sit there till you're blue in the face telling them how stupid it is and just get over it and move on. And because you say, one may say in this attitude that, well, I'm just being reasonable, I'm being logical, but then why are they saying it's stupid, get over it, this, that? Have you heard anything here intellectual? No. It's simply just, I don't have a tolerance for this kind of emotions. And I see no importance in them. Therefore, I'm saying, this is stupid, just get over it. But I'm doing it through my own emotion that is being expressed here due to my own frustration and lack of humility. Does that make sense? Otherwise, intelligence doesn't have to be nasty. Intelligence is just facts. Right? You know, intelligence would be, there's no need to be upset because we have this boy here, Astika, who Brahma said will stop the sacrifice. So if he goes, he will be successful. The grandsire said so. So therefore, why is there need to be an anxiety? Right? That's logical. Does that make sense? So you could say, that's logical. And then the person may, okay, this, that. It doesn't create a nice swing. Because it's neutral intelligence, so therefore it may bring a neutral. Right? But generally we see is we try to instill confidence and give a full kind of like expression. Right? So therefore, then that may be used, but along with, yes, I'm going to be doing it, so therefore you don't need to worry anymore, and everything's going to be fine, and, you know, to say, my word is always there, so I'm saying this, so it will be there, that gives authority, that gives, you know, like that, and then he's saying, you know, how he's going to do it, because otherwise you're going to the king, but I'm going to make this thing mixed with blessings. So kings like blessings. Right, so then naturally it will get his favor. So Vasuki will think, yes, this will get his favor. This will work. Yeah, does that make sense? So you see this? This in a nutshell is how to deal with anybody, anytime, any place, any circumstance, anywhere, any culture. You know, as long as they're within the 400, you know, thousand species of life, and you can talk the same language. Right. Then it will work. That's how practical the Vedas are. And it's just hidden here in this simple little thing. We'll see this again and again and again come up. Because if you know this, life goes pretty good. Because if we see by the nature of the material world, on a good day, it's 50% good, 50% bad. Right? So that 50% bad, you got to learn to deal with. Here's the key. Right? Learn it, life is successful. Don't learn it, then go on being unfortunate. Then, of course, you can spend lots of money on lots of self-help books trying to figure it out. But here it was in one paragraph on page 110 of the Mahabharata in section 54. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we're supposed to learn from this, is the whole culture, how it works. It's practical. It works. And why is it a story form? Because it's showing examples of it working before. Right? This is not stuff like the Supreme Lord is near but very far. He walks but he does not walk. He's the greatest but he's the smallest. Right? It's not that kind of... That's why stories are there. You can say it worked. And in a situation much more calamitous than that generally we are in. Right? Does that make sense? So if it worked there, why won't it work in our situation? Does that make sense? Yes. You have to establish the field. How is it done? I will relieve thee from that curse. So the field is the curse. Right? That's the problem. Then he's going into it, and then he's saying here's, then he's mentioning Janamejaya, the sacrifice, because Janamejaya is doing that sacrifice. So in other words, it's very clear you're dealing with the situation that the person themselves is feeling bad about. Right? So that it's clear there.
If we understand this principle, we should have confidence to go to somebody who's dealing with this principle and problems they might not be solved, but we'll feel better.
Yeah. But the tradition is everybody would use this. You know? Like that. But so everybody, you know, needs something, so you know, you have it means you can do it for someone else, but you may have to have someone else do that for you. You know? Like that. Of course, you can always, you know, yeah. Do a lot of talking to yourself, I guess. But yeah. Yes? Yes?
Can that also be applied with one's dealings with the mind?
With one's own mind? Yeah. Like that. Because if you're having a conversation with yourself, right? But that means you're having conversation between the intelligence and the mind. Does that make sense? Otherwise, how do you have two parties? Right? Because you'll note if you actually analyze a conversation where you're talking to yourself, you know, unless you're, you know, it means you may be talking to someone else, but if you're actually trying to, you know, you create the other person, it's like you take the generic them, and you know, actually only three persons in that them. But in the mind there's tens of hundreds of thousands of millions of them, right? And then one of those persons of the them has this quality, right? But not another quality. And another of the them has a different quality, right? And then the third person has even another quality. Now I take all those three qualities, put them together, and make the prototype them. So that on all levels, they're bad. And they have something to say that I don't like. And in this way, then, I argue and I come up with all kinds of great, you know, answers to all their points and smash them, you know, and this and that. But if we actually apply it, that them that we are arguing with, much of the time, does not exist. Right? We've created that them, you know, or anything else bad that we want to throw in, you know, just for you know, how you say, just to add to the rasa. Does that make sense? So that you can have a conversation. That's because conversation means two, right? So it means you and the them, you know. So then, then, but the other is if you're talking with yourself, then if you analyze it, then you'll see that there is the intelligence which is giving the options and what's better and what's worse and what will be the results of this and that, you know, in a very technical way. And the other one is just attached. That may be true, but I like this or that, or but what about this? And it'll be dealing with security, gain and safety, basically, and the attachment or repulsion thereof. Does that make sense? Well, the intelligence will just be pointing out what are the differences between things and what are common things, and trying to come up with some plan. Does that make sense? So that's what you're dealing with. So if you find that's happening, you know, like that, in case anybody ever has had such an experience, maybe, you know, maybe very theoretical saying this, then don't worry, you're not crazy. You know, it's just like that. Right. And Astika said, "Thou best of snakes, it behooveth thee not to grieve any longer. I shall dispel this fear of thine from the blazing fire." Right? So he's saying it's not, you know, you shouldn't be grieving. But he's not just saying you shouldn't be grieving because it's stupid. He's saying you shouldn't be grieving because I'm going to solve the problem. Right? "This terrible punishment, capable of burning like the fire at the end of the yuga, I shall extinguish. Nurse not thy fear any longer." Saudi said, "Then that best of brahmanas, Astika, quelling the terrible fear of the Vasuki's heart, and taking it, as it were, on himself, wended for the relief of the king of snakes with speed to Janamejaya's sacrifice, blessed with every merit. And Astika, having gone thither, beheld the excellent sacrificial compound, with numerous sarasyas on it, whose splendor was like that of the sun, or Agni, and that best of brahmanas was refused admittance by the doorkeepers. And the mighty ascetic gratified them, being desirous of entering the sacrificial compound. And that best of brahmanas, that foremost of all virtuous men, having entered the excellent sacrificial compound, began to adore the king of infinite achievements, Ritviks, the sarasyas, and also the sacred fire." Right, so he came in and immediately he was, how we say, glorifying everybody and all the arrangements there. Section 55. Astika said, "Soma and Varuna and Prajapati performed sacrifices of old in Prayag, but thy sacrifice, O foremost one of Bharata's race, O son of Parikit, is not inferior to any of those. Let those dear unto us be blessed." Right? This is the interesting part that he keeps saying. Dear unto us. He doesn't say me or you, he says us. Because the king will therefore be, yes, unto us. You know, it's like my family, and yeah, you must have family, yes, you also. Why not? You know, like, you know, if you, yes.
How come they didn't call Taksika first?
How come they didn't call Taksika first? Interesting point. I guess they were starting with all the small timers first and working from the bottom up. It means in this case they want to create a repentance. Right? Does that make sense? The snakes have done something wrong. You want to correct their attitude, right? They bite people, they give people trouble. So now if you call the top one first, they're very qualified. Right? Does that make sense? So being very qualified, then they're going to be very, how do you say, strong and dignified and everything like that. So then everybody else will also take up that same attitude. Does that make sense? You start the other way around, you start with the smaller ones, because they're under the care of the bigger ones, and the bigger ones will feel bad. But never misuse that one. Yes.
If you put first Takshaka and then everybody will die like Takshaka. If you put Takshaka last in it, and he died like the Aryanas.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Does that make sense? It's important, but this has to be so carefully used. Right? Does that make sense? Chakra performed 100 sacrifices, but this sacrifice of thine, O foremost one of Bharata's race, O son of Parikit, is fully equal to 10,000 sacrifices of Chakra. Let those dear to us be blessed. Like the sacrifice of Yama, of Hari Meda, or of King Rantidev, is the sacrifice of thine, O foremost one of Bharata's race, O son of Parikit. Right, so he's Bharata's race, so he establishes there they're the best of races. Son of Parikit, because it's because of Parikit Maharaj that the sacrifice is being done. Right, he's being glorified that this is great, like, you know, all these other demigods and great personalities of yore have done, or even sometimes even greater. Like he says, it's no less than Soma's, Varuna's, and Prajapati's. And it's equal to 10,000 of the ones, like Shaka performed 100, but yours is like 10,000 of those. Right? Like the sacrifice of Maya, of King Shashavindu, or of King Vaishravana, is this sacrifice of thine, O foremost one of Bharata's race, O son of Satyavati, in which he himself was the chief priest, right, Vyasadeva, is the sacrifice of Nriga, of Ajamida, of the son of Dasarat, is the sacrifice of thine, right, this, even the one of Ramachandra. O foremost one of Bharata's race, O son of Parikit, let those dear unto us be blessed. Like the sacrifice of King Yudhishthir, the son of a god and belonging to the Ajamida race, heard of even in the heavens, is this sacrifice of thine, O foremost one of Bharata's race, O son of Parikit. So it's not just praise, right? It means there's an element of that. Because, you know, you could be take what is the greatness? It could be the wealth, it could be the endeavor, it could be the quality of the Brahmins, it could be the focus of the king, the attitude, right? Depending upon what you're taking, it could be taken as great as. Or they did a sacrifice, but they had a smaller kunda. You have a bigger kunda, so you could say it's greater than the sacrifice done by, you know. Does that make sense? So many ways you could, and it's not untrue. But at the same time, is you see that this is, I mean, an 8-mile snake has enough room to fall into the fire and be burnt, you know. Then it's pretty big. Right, and that it has power. These are celestial snakes, so they're not just out here in the grass. They're falling in from all over the universe. Right, so then that means the sacrifice is known throughout the universe. Right, and Brahma himself has been involved in all this. So it's big. Right, so it's not that he's just saying. There's some meaning here. Like the sacrifice of Krishna, means Dvaipayana, means Vyasadeva, the son of Satyavati, in which he himself was the chief priest, is the sacrifice of thine, O foremost one of Bharata's race, O son of Parikit. Let those dear unto us be blessed. These Ritviks and Sadhyas that are here engaged in making thy sacrifice, like unto that of the slayer of Vritta, that means that's Indra, are of splendor and equal to that of the sun. There now remains nothing for them to know, and gifts made to them become inexhaustible in merit. Means the more that they know, the more that they've realized, the greater the benefit of giving them in charity. Right? You give to a common person, just a beggar, whatever you've given them, you will get that back. Right? If you give to someone who claims to be a Brahmin, though they're not necessarily, you know, they may be they may be just dressed up as one. Or they may be in a Brahmin family, but they don't act like one. But they're presenting themselves as a Brahmin and therefore asking for charity. You'll get double, just because of the consideration of a Brahmin. If they're actually qualified, they've studied the Veda, you know, like that, they're practicing the Veda, you get 100,000 times. So we see it's a big jump. Right? Big, big jump. Then someone who's realized in that, you know, knowledge in that, and has understand the conclusion, then it's unlimited. Does that make sense? So by saying unlimited here means this is the top of all the intelligent persons of the universe. Right? Most qualified of all the sages in that. Yeah? Okay. It is my conviction that there is no Ritvik in all the worlds who is equal to thy Ritvik, Dvaipayana. His disciples, becoming Ritviks, competent for their duties, travel over the earth. The high-souled bearer of libation, Agni, called also Vibhatsu and Chitrabandhu, having gold for his vital seed, and having his path marked by black smoke, blazed up with flames inclined to the right, beareth thee thy libations of clarified butter to the gods, inclined to the right. So that means it's more, you know, like auspicious there. Left is then would be, you know, for the others. Or I think they use that for when they offer to ghosts and other things. That was the thing is when, what was that? He had three heads, the Brahmin.
Vishwarup,
yeah, because he was from the demons. He was born from them. And Indra was using for the sacrifice, he was doing something with the sacrifice, so he's offering the ghee on the right side, but unbeknownst to Indra, then he would also offer onto the left. Right? And then at one point, that was understood. So then Indra got upset and then cut off his three heads. Right? And then, you know, the whole pastime, yes. Right means the priest's right.
And so he offers it like this?
That means it's thrown into the right side of the fire, but then he would also throw some into the left. You know, like that. Right, you have some family members on the left side that you want to offer to, or another technique, or something you're not telling us? You've been sent here by who? In this world of men, there is no other monarch equal to thee in the protection of subjects. I am ever well pleased with thy abstinence. Indeed, thou art either Varuna or Yama, the god of justice. Like Chakra himself, thunderbolt and hound, thou art in this world, the protector of all creatures. In this earth there is no man so great as thou, and no monarch who is thy equal in sacrifice. Thou art like, because the king is considered having the potency of eight demigods. Right? So therefore also to compare him to these personalities is not wrong, because he does like that. You know? Those are his duties. Thou art like Katvanga, Nabanga, and Dilipa. In prowess thou art like Yayati and Mandatri, in splendor equal to the sun and of excellent vows. Thou art, O monarch, like Bhishma. Like Valmiki, thou art of energy concealed. Like Vashishta, thou hast controlled thy wrath. Like Indra is thy lordship. Thy splendor also shines like that of Narayana. Like Yama, thou art conversant with the dispensation of justice. Thou art like Krishna, adorned with every virtue. Thou art the home of the good fortune that belongs to the Vasus. Thou art also the refuge of the sacrifices. In strength thou art equal to Damvodbhava, like Rama, the son of Janmadagni. Thou art conversant with the scriptures and arms. It means Parasura. In energy thou art equal to Aurva and Trita. Thou inspirest terrors by thy looks like Bhagirath. Saudi said, Astika, having thus adored them, gratified them all, namely the king, the Sarasyas, the Ritviks, and the sacrificial fire. And King Janamejaya, beholding the signs and indications manifested all around, addressed them as follows. Right? Because also Agni should be, one should say, well, why Agni? Because Agni, he's having a sacrifice, that's what he does. He you know, so he should also be gratified, because you're stopping his sacrifice. So he should also be pleased. The Sarasyas are there to see everything's done. The Ritviks are there to do it. The king wants it done. So all of them has to be satisfied. Section 50, 6. Janamejaya said, though this one is but a boy, he speaks yet like a wise old man. He is not a boy, but one wise and old. I think I desire to bestow on him a boon. Therefore, ye Brahmins, give me the necessary permission. The Sarasya said, a Brahmana, though a boy, deserves the respect of kings. The learned ones do more so. This boy desires every desire of his being by thee, being fulfilled by thee, but not before Takshaka comes with speed. Yeah, so there is that. Give him blessings, but first let Takshaka come to the fire, and then we'll talk, right? Like that. So that was the Sarasyas, that's all the sages. That was their recommendation. And he made the point is that a Brahmana, though a boy, deserves respect of kings, and the learned ones even more so. So he is even more qualified, so he deserves, besides just a boon, whatever he wants, whatever he needs, that should be fulfilled. Sauti continued, the king being inclined to grant the Brahmana a boon, said, ask thou a boon. The Hotri, however, being rather displeased, said, Takshaka hath not come as yet into the sacrifice. Right, because means here is you're dealing, the Brahmins are going, we have a thing to do here, we're supposed to get Takshaka. Once he comes, then okay, then we'll stop, because that's actually the main point that we're doing. But for the benefit of everyone in the world, see, Takshaka is generally biting because of curse, or there's some more reasonable to it, but all these other snakes are just biting, right, for no reason. So we're clearing the world for the benefit of everybody, but the sacrifice is actually to get Takshaka. He's the one to be chastised. Right, so they're looking at it logically, but the king, because of that touch of the mode of passion, right? Kshatriyas means there's some passion there. Then he is feeling, he has been pleased in that boon, and he's feeling that that happiness and satisfaction of this such a nice boy and a Brahmin and so qualified and all this and being his kingness and all these things that they want to take care of it now. They don't want to wait. That's why also the tolerance, humility are important. But it's understood because of passion it'll be harder in the kings. So if it goes this other way, no one minds. Right? No one minds. But their point is you're doing for this. We're here to advise you that this is what's to be done. We're here to help you do that, so therefore you should do this. So Takshaka first, boon later. Right? But the king is being in the moment and the mood, then he tends towards now, right? Of course, this is all done by providence, but this is what's happening. Janamejaya replied, exert ye to the best of your might, so that this sacrifice of mine may attain completion, and Takshaka may also soon come here. He is my enemy. The Ritviks replied, as the scriptures declare unto us, and as the fire hath saved, O monarch, it seems that Takshaka is now staying in the abode of Indra, afflicted with fear. Sadhya continued, the illustrious Sutta named Lohitakshaka, also conversant with the Puranas, has said so before. Asked by the king on the present occasion, he again told the monarch, sire, it is even so as the Brahmanas have said. Knowing the Puranas, I say, O monarch, that Indra hath granted him this boon, saying, dwell with me in concealment, and Agni shall not burn thee. Right? Because Lohitaksha, he moves around the universe. So, from what I understand, it may come up later, is Lohitaksha was just there. So he saw Takshaka with Indra. So that's why they're saying he had said he's there. Like that. So, I guess we will continue on Monday of what happens to Takshaka. Will Takshaka get burnt? Will Indra? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.